The letter reached Roger Williams, even though he had fled to the winter encampment of a nearby Native American tribe. He wondered if it might be a peace offering, but when he opened it and read it, the words were as icy as the cold New England air. "If you perish among the barbarian Indians, your blood will be on your own head. It was your sin to procure it, and your sorrow to suffer it." Ouch! Wow! Why can it be so hard to get along in a group? Well, Roger Williams did think for himself, and he did let his disagreements be known. He believed that King Charles did not have the right to give away land that actually belonged to the Indians. He also believed that the first four of the Ten Commandments were between man and God, and Massachusetts Bay authorities did not have the right to force people to go to church. He also believed in a society where all faiths could worship together in peace. It was too much for the Puritans of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, and when they learned that he was planning to move away with some followers to start a new colony, they sent an arrest party out to grab him and possibly send him back to England, where he might have been executed for his beliefs. He was tipped off. The arrest party was slowed by a snowstorm. And by the time they got to his house, he was gone. 35 years later, he wrote of winter snow, which I feel yet. He could not understand how he could be denied the common air to breathe, and without mercy and compassion, exposed to winter miseries in a howling wilderness. The letter was from John Cotton, who he had thought of as a friend. And 35 years later, he wrote that it had stopped him. Roger Williams went on to found Rhode Island, the first place on earth with true religious freedom. But all his life, he struggled to navigate the difficult straits of human group dynamics. Why is it that we have such a hard time relating to each other from across the chasm of different root beliefs, different life experiences, different human needs and wants, different word pronunciations? Some say chasm, and I'm sorry, I try to be tolerant, but that's too far. That I can't take that kind of craziness. It doesn't matter if the group you belong to espouses some high-minded philosophy like love your neighbor as yourself or treat all people kindly. Not long ago, I read a book called Absolute Monarchs about all of the popes. Wow. What a frequently violent struggle it was to gain control of the papacy. But we must remember that this was quite a prize, something worth fighting for. If you could become pope, not only could you push your own perspective and beliefs, but certainly in the Renaissance, you could really help out your nieces and nephews. And in the case of Pope Alexander VI, also known as Rodrigo Borgia, you could really help out your many out-of-wedlock children. It might take a few donkey loads of silver paid as expertly determined bribes, but it was something that was worth a lot. There are so many issues to disagree about. So many core beliefs: money, position, privilege, politics, Bernie or Biden, paper or plastic, style of music, exact terms of an earlier oral agreement, tasks and chores, and here's a big one, the details of any particular past incident. Now, you had a slight smirk on your face when you said that. It's hard, it can be so hard to sort it all out. Even after founding Rhode Island, Roger Williams had conflict after conflict with his fellow colonists and with the other colonies. You know, I think I've just convinced myself. I'm going to go live life as a hermit. But Roger Williams didn't give up. He kept reaching out and establishing human connection, and he lived a life that was long and good, filled with proud achievements and rich friendships. He was also healthy and lucky, because he could have died in that winter, misery, howling wilderness, and he was lucky. He could have many times been killed. It can take patience and courage. Pardon me. To navigate community. It can take the courage to let your true self be known, because people can only accept you if they really understand who you are. It can also occasionally take discretion. It can take the courage and the strength, the great inner strength, to admit to a fault, at least to yourself, and to work to correct it. But if we work at it, there can be those sublime moments when unexpectedly we get some support from someone that we never suspected, understood, or sympathized with our position. It was John Winthrop, who had been the governor of Massachusetts, who tipped Roger Williams off, despite the fact that publicly he joined with those who fought against Williams. Perhaps he felt that he couldn't carry the day against the other members of the council, but he didn't want to see his old friend get hurt, and so he tipped him off. And in my own life, there have been times when I felt so challenged by life, and then someone gives me a little pat on the shoulder. I remember when I dropped out of college again, and I was in California. I talked to a stranger, and he said, "Well, good luck to you. You seem like a friendly fellow." And that meant a lot to me, because I felt like, with all my faults, well, damn it, I am friendly. And that's something I've kept with me. We human beings do want things to go right for the groups that we belong to and for our society in general. It is part of being human to want to do the right thing. I remember a true story about a man named John, who had been bullied by an ambitious prosecutor into giving false testimony against another person who was then convicted. 5 years later, an investigator trying to free the falsely convicted person tracked John down to a small town. The investigator went down a lonesome dirt road to a beat-up old trailer. He knocked on the door. Would John remember? And if so, would he care? The door slowly opened. When John was told what had brought his visitor, He said, "I knew you were coming." Tears welled up in his eyes. "I knew you were coming." He was too intimidated by the world of lawyers and courtrooms to come forward on his own. And he was so afraid of what might happen. But that didn't mean that he didn't keep on hoping and believing that someday someone would come and take him by the hand and lead him and show him the way that he could finally make it right. Or at least as right as it could ever be. There can be those times when it all comes together. New understandings take root. Friendships deepen. We can know the glory of reconciliation. We must never give up hope. I'm sure that many of you know the story of Theodore Roosevelt and William Howard Taft. Taft was a very important person in Roosevelt's administration. They were good friends. When Roosevelt's term was coming to an end, he asked Taft to run for president to replace him. Taft did, and he won. But when Roosevelt returned from his post-presidential trip to Africa, he didn't like what he heard about the Taft administration. And he ended up running against Taft on a third-party ticket for the next presidential election. His criticisms deeply, deeply wounded Taft. They split the Republican vote, and Woodrow Wilson won. For many years, Taft and Roosevelt did not speak to each other. Then Taft heard that Roosevelt had fallen ill, and he sent him a caring note. Later, when Taft was visiting Chicago, he learned that Roosevelt was in the dining room of the hotel where he was staying. He didn't wait, but he had the courage to go to greet Roosevelt. He went downstairs and he said, "Theodore, it is good to see you." And Roosevelt rose and he took Taft by the shoulders and he said, "It is indeed good to see you. Won't you join me?" All around the dining room, diners looked up from their meals. The waitstaff paused in their tracks. They all knew the story of these two men and how they had become estranged. And then, in a warm show of approval, the room burst out into applause. When we look at the conflicts and betrayals in our world, we can also see rivers of compassion flowing from caring human hearts, from those who care enough, who love enough to take the first step towards reconciliation, who work many long hours to free the falsely convicted, who work to bridge those great chasms, or is it chasms, that keep us in mutually hostile camps. We cannot stop trying. Yes, participating in a group will bring its hurts. There will be bitter disagreements, but we cannot stop trying. It is in groups and through groups that we have our greatest achievements and that we can find our greatest fulfillment. Roger Williams kept trying, and he changed the world. He created the first society where everyone, regardless of their faith, could live together in peace. And you can change the world too. If you change even a small part of the world, then you have changed the world. Who could have expected or predicted that the tiny colony of Rhode Island, so far from the great seats of power, would be the first example of a new form of society, one that has spread around the world? We can all do our part to encourage groups to fight the common enemy of human isolation. Every time you participate in a group in a positive way, like your attendance here today, you join that great chain of human connection, leading all the way back to the worship of our distant ancestors, gathered to celebrate their tenuous existence in a world vast beyond limit, in time without beginning or end, and in mystery of impenetrable depth. We are one.